And as such, speakers have got 10 minutes, is it? 10 minutes. 10 minutes to speak to us if they require that long. My name is Gareth Jones. I'm the chairman of the planning committee. To my left, I've got members of the law administration department. To my right, I've got people from the planning department. Remind everybody that when we're dealing with planning applications, we have to treat them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan. And I remind committee members again that they do not enjoy any immunity. An audio recording will be taken at this meeting, which will be published on the council's website. I'll start with apologies.
Deputy Chairman, apologies this afternoon from Councillors Beattie, who substituted by Councillor Phillips, from Councillors Hobbs, and from the Vice Chairman, Councillor Peter Jones.
Thank you very much. And any lobbying or anything?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have been lobbied by a resident of Stow Lane, in Stowbar Chardon, and I forwarded that to the planning department yesterday.
Thank you.
I'm not quite sure how far it's got through the planning department, but it's...
It doesn't matter
because you've
called it
in. Sorry, again? No. I know. But I was going to say I will be speaking as a ward member, not as a member of this committee.
And as such, you will not be able to participate
in the vote.
Once we start.
I accept that.
Yeah. Okay, so we go on to the planning application that we're considering. And it's land at the port, as we know from our visit this morning, it's the old Hickson airfield. And it's come to us because of the development is in a large scale major application. So I will ask you to make a presentation.
Thank you very much. So the plan view is currently on the screen of the location of the airfield, showing the access through the industrial estate. As you're aware, the application to change the use of part of the former airfield to the storage of commercial vehicles prior to auction. The applicant operates the business currently on an adjacent part of the airfield and has been for a number of years, which we saw when he was on the site visit. This application is to extend the storage area to allow the continued growth of the business and will create about 10 jobs. No auctions will be carried out from this new application site. So this is the aerial photo. I think it has changed quite a bit from what you can see on there. Just as a point of note, I just need to make a correction on page 14 of the report and some comments regarding naval objections. These further objections outlined in the report were received before the latest plans were available on the website. The publicity has gone out, but we were not on the website at that time. I do not believe that any further comments thought to be received following those plans being available in the public domain. I'll go on to some photos shortly. So these are the map showing locations which the photographs have been taken, but hopefully that should be made clear from our own designers as well. So image one is from roughly sort of centre of the airfield looking towards where the buttons are. And moving on to image two, this is between some of where the buttons are at the moment. Obviously these buns are only temporary, they will be a lot higher, and we'll discuss that in a bit more detail later. This is looking towards Hope Cottage from the far side of the buns, so this is sort of the outside of the buns. Hope Cottage can be seen sort of in the top, that sort of rendered building, where there have been some more planting, which I'll come to as well. this just shows part of the application site in relation to some of the existing storage. So this existing storage will be essentially able to be moved onto this part of the airfield. This application has previously been to planning committee on two separate occasions, been deferred for site visits and for the submission of further information. And we're back today, hopefully, to make that decision following the amended plans. The key differences and improvements since the last committee are set out at the beginning of the report, but they do include an increase in the height of the buns and an overlap between the buns to prevent direct views between them. The inclusion of more significant landscaping along the northern edge of the runway, comprising two standard rows of trees and low-level native shrub planting. Off-site landscaping has taken place at the western edge of Hope Cottage, comprising an earth mound with planting at a privet hedge and a relocating of the boundary fence, which reduces the visual impact from Hope Cottage. Go on to some plans of the buns. So this plan shows the dotted green line is the public footpath, which will go in between the buns. And it shows the additional landscaping that's proposed on the northern and southern boundaries. Okay, I'll move on to the next plan. This is a plan showing the buns and the new gates into the site from the existing access and into the airfield parking. So the buns will be widened. We'll be planting on top, and you can see the overlap between the two buns, so there won't be any direct views from the west. This plan shows, I'm not really that clear, but this shows where the planting outside Hope Cottage has been done. So this has been done by the applicant outside of the application process. It is done on the applicant, previous objects of land, Hope Cottage owner's land. And this is in place that will grow and be established over the coming years. And that will also provide screening. I'm not aware that the occupiers of Hope Cottage have since objected to this application. Moving on to the cross section of the buns, this shows where the cross section is taken between the two buns, and this would be the first year after planting. So obviously it will show HGV on one side, you know, people on the other, so you can see the height at 1 year, which is obviously significantly higher than what we saw on the side today. Moving on into 7 to 10 years after establishment, there will be significant landscaping on both sides of the buns, and obviously that overlap as well will be clearer once this is all established. That public footpath is in between those two buns, so there will be absolutely no impact on the public footpath. That will kind of continue to go between those two buns. Okay, so further justifications have also been submitted prior to the committee setting out the explanations of the site and redevelopment, and this is contained in the report. So the applicant takes on vehicles, sort of smaller car storage companies such as Copart, which are unable to store their commercial vehicles because of the size and limitations within their sites. So the applicant is then storing their own car, what the consented site is now, prior to auction. As there is a national shortage of land which is available for this commercial storage. The applicant has liaised with some commercial agents locally, and we have confirmed in writing that there are no available sites on industrial estates or other land that is currently available, or that they know is becoming available, that would accommodate this type of development. Even if there were some alternative sites available nationally, these would unlikely to be sustainable options with regards to the method of transportation between the sites, the associated times and costs. and it was also highly efficient of the applicant's existing business operations. Obviously, they are on site currently, on a permitted site where they are watching, so it does make sense just to extend their existing business rather than trying to find an site elsewhere and moving between them. As a proposal, is an extension to an existing established business on a brownfield site and on an industrial estate, it is considered that the application is acceptable in principle. Obviously, the site is outside of the recognised industrial estate boundary, but it is immediately adjacent to it. However, the justifications of supporting the expansion of the established business, creation of jobs in a sustainable manner, would outweigh the fact that the site is outside of that boundary. To be considered acceptable, the proposal is assessed against the development plan as a whole, as well as the NPPF and material considerations, and it is considered that this application has been justified to be acceptable on the basis of the plan as a whole. And the landscaping and the guns, once they are established, are considered to reduce the visual impact. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have an objector to the proposed application. You've got, as I said at the beginning, 10 minutes to address the committee if you need that long.
Okay, Paul Hopcroft, Kingston Parish Council. We feel that due consideration hasn't been given to the visual impact the roads of accident damaged vehicles and commercial vehicles will be like for years before the planted screening has any effect. By their own design, this could be up to 7 years before those trees actually provide any screening. Furthermore, consideration has not been given to those properties in Stone Lane, which is in an elevated position to look down across the airfield as a whole. An increase in the height of the proposed berm will have an effect, but so will have little effect on their view. Although the revised landscaping drawing does show an increase in the number of trees and fast growing shrubs, the condition of the existing bums that are currently in place are not well constructed and are of poor quality soil. One presumes that this will be, if it gets the permission, will be actually reconstructed completely, existing stuff removed and will be rebuilt. The planning condition states that any plants or trees that die or become diseased in the first 5 years will need to be replaced. But who will monitor and enforce this condition once the project is completed and signed off by the council? There is no mention as to whether the damaged vehicles are drained with their toxic fluids, such as fuel, coolant, etc., before they are moved to the storage compound. Any leakage will contaminate the surface water, which is shown to be drained across existing hard standing into land drains. This would pose a serious risk of ground pollution and obviously detrimental to the environment. There appears to be no intention of installing petrol detectors to mitigate or prevent this from possibly happening. We have previously asked that the pollution hazard indices, as set out in Table 2 of the SUDS manual, be reviewed. Currently, the pollution hazard level is considered to be medium, as the land is categorised as a commercial yard and delivery area. We believe that the land use should be categorised as a lorry park, haulage yard, with frequent lorry approaches as defined in Table 2 of the SUDS document, and therefore the pollution hazard level to be classified as high. This categorisation requires the drainage system to be designed to collect, filter, and mitigate the possibility of any pollution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would the supporter like to come on?
Yes.
Mr. Weatherley.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members. I'm speaking in support of this application on behalf of the applicant, Jonathan Lloyd Commercial Salvage Limited, and firstly I'd like to explain and emphasise the need for this proposal at Hickson Airport. The section of former runway directly adjoining this site to the southwest is in active and well-established use for commercial vehicle storage and up to 6 auctions per year. Due to the success of the applicant's business, they are experiencing increased demand for vehicle storage and between auctions taking place. The applicant consequently requires additional space for storing vehicles. Written confirmation of the need for additional storage has been provided by Copart, a company with strong links to the operation of the applicant's business, and who supply some of the commercial vehicles that they deal with. The need for additional space is a national issue, as well as regional and local, and that's confirmed in our correspondence. It would plainly be preferable, including in terms of the efficient operation of the applicant's business, for the additional storage space required to be provided near the existing auction and storage facility. The application site directly adjoins that facility and it lends itself to accommodate the additional storage space required, particularly as it comprises a section of concrete runway, which is therefore previously developed or brownfield land. It adjoins the boundary of the Hickson Airfield RIE and has been subject to previous planning commissions for open storage of aggregates. Provision of additional storage within the site would also be preferable from an environmental perspective, as it would avoid the need to transport vehicles elsewhere for storage and back to Hickson when the next auction takes place, at times when there is insufficient space to store them at the existing facility. As you would have seen on site this morning, lots of the vehicles are very large and the disruption that can be caused in terms of moving them to and from the site and elsewhere can be significant, as well as time consuming. The reduction of travel would in turn reduce emissions and associated environmental impact, as well as reduce the number of trips and potential for related disruption on those local roads. The applicant has previously searched for alternative sites for the additional storage needed, but that has proved fruitless, and the absence of such alternative sites in the area has been confirmed in writing by local commercial land agents, as you just heard from the planning officer. In any event, we remain firmly of the opinion that even if an alternative site were available locally, the application site in this proposal is a far more suitable and logical solution to meet the identified need, particularly given the reduced environmental impacts and benefits to the efficient operation of the business, plus mindful of the carefully designed landscaping proposals to mitigate the visual impact of this proposal. Furthermore, the applicant previously made use of the storage facility just north of Stone at Method, when more storage space was required. However, that proved to be impractical and not a sustainable option in the long term, principally due to the large amount of time involved in transporting large commercial vehicles between two sites before and after auctions took place. That arrangement used a lot of additional fuel and staff time, and ultimately was a very inefficient way to run the business and damaging to the highway network and the environment. This provides further confirmation of the need for the additional vehicle storage to be close to the existing facility, by that meaning the existing storage and auction facility. Turning to the impacts of the proposal in more detail, the applicant has taken the opportunity to propose both perimeter fencing to secure the site and contain the vehicle storage area, and a variety of well-considered landscape improvements. As the officers highlighted when this application was first considered, the nearest runway is over 250 metres from the site, and loss of view is not a material planning consideration, and thus not a sound reason to refuse planning permission. Notwithstanding, there is only one dwelling with direct views of the application site, plus a small number on Stone Lane with views from first floor level. The applicant is being sensitive to the small number of residents who are potentially affected, and the concerns raised by members previously, and gone to great lengths to enhance the landscaping proposals. They've made genuine efforts to provide substantial landscape enhancements as part of this application to mitigate visual impact. Plus, have the added benefit of providing a soft landscape screen for the existing industrial development in the vicinity, in particular when viewed from public footpaths and those sections of Stow Lane and any dwellings that do have distant views of the site. The proposed landscaping includes the large landscape mounds that you've seen on the drawings just now, which will be greater in height than you saw on site. plus substantial planting along the two long edges of the former runway, but in particular on the northern edge, the outward facing edge. That has been increased in its depth and density since this application was previously considered at committee. It now involves a double row of staggered trees with low level native species at the low level in between those trees, which is far more substantial than was proposed previously. The intention of this element of the proposal is to deliver improvements to the character and appearance of the current commercially active areas of the former airfield and the wider industrial estate, not just mitigate the visual impact of this proposed storage. In terms of the mound itself, the increase in height is from 2.5 metres when this was previously considered to now 4 metres plus the height of the trees planted on top. So it would be an immediate screen and it would become more effective over time, there's no question. The revised plans we've submitted include all those details I've just outlined and the officers have explained. And since they were submitted, the Randalls Association confirmed that they welcome the changes to the landscaping and have raised no objection, particularly as the public right of way is maintained in its existing route. You're also shown the drawing there of the enhancements at Hope Cottage, which the applicant has already put in as a goodwill gesture on the land at Hope Cottage own and control. So that will, once it becomes established and more mature, be an effective screen directly at the rear of their property, in addition to the mounds and other planting on the site itself. There have been no objections from any third parties since the latest plans were made publicly available, which we feel is reflective of the quality of the landscaping that is now proposed and has been substantially enhanced since you previously considered this application. There are numerous and wide-ranging benefits that this proposal would realise. These include economic benefits associated with the growth of the applicant's business, which is of course something that the plan for Stafford Borough supports in terms of the growth and success of rural businesses directly adjacent to the RIE boundary. 10 jobs would immediately be delivered should this proposal go ahead. Knock-on positive impacts on supporting businesses involved in the applicant's operations, and additional spend by employees and supporting businesses on local services when they travel to and from the area frequently. It would enable unsold vehicles to remain on site, reducing disruption on the road network, as I mentioned before. There would be related benefits in the environment and local residents' immunity by way of reduced vehicle emissions and fewer trips on local roads. Improvements to the visual immunity of the wider area for more landscaping proposals, which would also increase and enhance biodiversity. This would also ensure beneficial reuse of brownfield land, which is something that there is strong emphasis on in the MPPF. In conclusion, this is a logical and reasonable planning application for additional vehicle storage, which would enable the applicant to cater for the additional demand that their business is experiencing. By way of the beneficial use of a section of brownfield land adjoining the applicant's existing facility and the edge of the RIE at Picton Airfield. The application has been accompanied by extensive supporting documentation and has demonstrated that the proposal comprises sustainable economic development, which adheres to key policy objectives within the development plan and the MPPF. Moreover, the proposal will deliver a range of planning benefits and be technically sound, with no objections from statutory consultees, including in relation to the contamination issues and drainage issues you heard about from the objector, subject to the planning condition that is proposed to require the drainage strategy to be fully employed. All of that has been carefully considered, as you'd expect. As a result, I respectfully assert that the planning balance weighs heavily in favour of granting permission. It is clear your officers are of the same opinion, having recommended approval of the application as was originally considered by committee, and remaining supportive following further enhancements that have been made sensitively in response to concerns from members and third parties since the application was previously considered. The applicant has gone to great lengths to put together a sensitive proposal and respond to those issues that were raised previously, which must be balanced with the economic issues we're faced with here and the need for the business to grow and the benefits that would create. With all these considerations in mind, I urge you to approve this application subject to conditions in accordance with your officer's recommendation, thus enabling the numerous benefits of this proposal to be realised. Thank you for listening.
Councillor McKeown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm speaking as ward member
yes.
on this occasion. My 10 minutes begins now?
Yes.
Okay. In October 2010, our eldest son left these shores to go and live in Australia. He's currently back in the UK for only the second time since leaving to go to Australia. Picked him up from Manchester Airport last Friday afternoon. And as we drove into Hickson over the railway bridge, he glanced to the left and he saw the airfield and the scrap lorries on there. And he said to me, "Dad, what is going on the airfield? That is a disgrace." I said, "It's a long story. It's a story that goes back to 2011. With the appearance on the far western tip of the runway of several military planes and a helicopter or two, which were put there without permission. And subsequently, a retrospective application was made for the storage of those planes and helicopters on the runway outside the recognised industrial estate boundary. When it came to committee, I spoke against it on the grounds that it was outside the boundary, and there was, in my view, some debate about the definition of the runways. Are they previously developed? Are they on brownfield sites? Or is it a strip of concrete that was put down during the unpleasantness of 1939-1945? It was put there for a specific reason as a runway for the military. It then was decommissioned in the early 1950s and has lay dormant for all that time. Does that qualify for brownfield or previously developed? I don't think so. It's a strip of concrete. It may actually be considered to be a heritage asset rather than some brownfield site. The planning application was eventually taken to committee and was approved. And that started a chain of events that leads us to where we are today. Subsequent planning applications came forward, and as I had predicted, the military aircraft disappeared and were soon replaced by HGVs, buses, coaches, and trailers. The subsequent applications that came forward are listed in the report, all of which were approved, all of which were still outside the industrial estate boundary. And the conditions on all of those applications was 5 years landscaping, which we've all seen has not happened. There is no obvious visual disguising of the runway and those vehicles as it stands at the moment. Now, I am pleased to some extent that the proposed landscaping has been beefed up with a zigzag double line of trees on the northern boundary and the bund as such. But as we saw earlier today, that bund is pretty poorly constructed and probably incapable of sustaining vegetation or trees. The conversation on site this morning seemed to be around the fact that how do we enforce these conditions? How do we enforce a 5-year monitoring of this? It mentions on page 28 of the officer report at point 5, the landscape planting schemes, etc., shall be any that die over 5 years or within 5 years will be replaced. But there's actually a more interesting letter on file from Knights, dated October last year, which says, as confirmed in our recent engagement with the local planning authority, we propose a separate dedicated condition which says, application site to be inspected / surveyed on the first anniversary of it having been completed, and on each subsequent anniversary until and including its fifth anniversary, and a report then issued to the LPA detailing the findings of the survey. The intention of this requirement condition is to provide evidence of the condition and growth of the landscaping, including details of any works required to replace any removed, damaged or diseased landscaping in the next available planting system. That's a letter from Mr. Ben. Now, I think that paragraph in that communication should replace the condition of point 5 on page 28 of today's agenda. So if I can refer to that later on, Mr. Chairman, if you would like that wording, I'm sure it is on file. Members have seen for themselves today the state of the runway and how untidy it is, how unsightly it is. So we are at the end of a 12-year journey from 2011, where we have the same decision to make. But are we going to stick or twist, as they say? Are we going to say enough is enough? You can only disguise so much with trees that will take several years to grow. Or do you say, you know what, we'd probably be better without those lorries there in the first place? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I assume from the comments that have been made that the buns will, the intention of the buns when complete will be to enable trees and bushes, etc., to prosper where they're planting, rather than to have a negative aspect. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, could I just add one thing? Just as a second point on your letter, Ben, on the same letter, dated October last year. Secondly, the Council imposes a condition along the lines of the following, related to concerns expressed by members on the Planning Committee about the removal of the concrete surface beneath the proposed and part complete landscape mound at the east end of the application, that it would be removed down to ground level and rebuilt, essentially. That's, again, the letter from Knights, which doesn't feature in the officer report.
Would you like to comment?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, a couple of comments. Firstly, Councillor McKeown is quite right. Those two proposed conditions are in our explanatory note from October last year, and the applicant has no objection to those conditions being imposed. It was your officer that deemed that they weren't necessary. Unilaterally, that wasn't our suggestion. You know, we put there in a public document that those conditions are acceptable to my client, the applicant, in terms of the monitoring for the first 5 years and providing an annual report on the condition and so on. And linked to that, in terms of question from you, Chair, about the quality, for want of a better word, of the planting, the landscaping. The landscape architects from Manchester, they were specifically appointed on this, my recommendation to make sure this was done properly. Clearly, I'm a consultant and agent, not the developer here, so I'm not physically dealing with their planting, but I specifically recommended that at least the landscape architect was required, that it has to be carefully considered and properly implemented. The conditions we proposed within that October 22 explanatory note follow through with the spirit of that intention and proposal, so this is all properly done, not just as a short-term fix to get planning permission back and move away from this, but as I said in my presentation, to soften the impact of a wider development. If you look at the industrial estate, not just my client's existing vehicle storage, which by anyone's standards is untidy, but also the backdrop of the whole industrial estate, particularly from the east, north, northwest, where there are a couple of footpaths and so on. This landscaping is intended in due course to provide a permanent screen to all of that, not just for this additional vehicle storage. And that's what it's been designed to do, and those proposed conditions are designed to ensure it's effective.
So I understand that we're talking about an enhancement of the existing conditions, so that things will be sustainable, there will be a good opportunity for growth, etc., etc., and that every effort will be made to ensure that the end of the screening is effective.
Thank you. Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of points, and the first one is from my own experience. Description of the runway as a vehicle park. The existing area that's being utilised, I would say, is a scrappy. There is supposedly a public footpath that runs through it, and I tried to walk it during lockdown, and it's a dangerous assault course of broken vehicles, scrap all over the place, and puddles of goodness knows what liquids all over the floor. So I think the description needs to follow that kind of thing on the runway. It is not an orderly, in my mind, series of vehicles parked up. It is a scrap. Now that's my own anecdotal comment. The other more substantial comment I'd like to ask, if I may, ask Councillor McKeown from his experience. Does this lie outside the neighbourhood plan?
Can I answer? Yes.
In that case, what are we looking at this for? Because if it's outside the neighbourhood plan, it should not be permitted. But neighbourhood plan is drawn up and agreed by local residents. It fits in with the borough's own plan, and it's approved by the Secretary of State. So now we're looking at something beyond it. Why?
My understanding of the presentation is that there are two factors here. One is the ability to develop a business and sustain that business in relation to employment, and the other is in relation to the maintenance of the settlement boundary, etc. And the view that has been taken on balance is that it's the economic factors and the employment ensuing that are critical, and that is a key part of this application, if I've understood it correctly. Is that correct?
Just to clarify, the settlement boundaries do not preclude development outside the settlement boundaries. That is a fundamental law or planning. This is a brownfield site. It falls outside the settlement. The whole point about the planning process and our actual adopted policies within our planning does make provisions for developments of this type outside the settlement boundaries. So that's not an automatic reason why we should be saying no. What we need to be assessing is if it is outside the settlement boundaries, and it is on what's deemed to be previously developed land, it's an FX runway, whether or not you are content that the proposed development is acceptable in the form, given the mitigation that's going to be put in place. So the principle, it's not an in-principle objection to it because it's not inside the settlement boundary. That's not the case. The plan does allow for development outside. And in fact, actually, it would be an argument to say that a use of this type would be difficult to cite, or there aren't any sites that they've found which are within the settlement boundary. So by necessity, they've had to look outside. This is the site that is available. It's next to their existing operation and does have significant sustainable aspects to it in terms of vehicles move there and then they're auctioned off on part of the other site. I think it's also important to remember that this site has been the subject of quite a few other permissions historically, and that cannot be ignored because it is material to consideration. So we have allowed other developments, and in fact actually this is parasitic upon that operation in terms of the car auction or the auctions taking place on site. So just because it's not within the settlement boundaries doesn't automatically mean that we should be refusing it. What we are here to do today is to say we have development on this area already. This is an extension to that, and we are looking at extending the storage onto this further part of the runway, and whether or not you are content, because we've deferred it for a number of people, to defer it for consideration until today previously, for more information on Monday. So what we're here to do today is whether or not you're content with the principle of the extension onto the runway, and whether or not the mitigation put in place and tied up by conditions or additional conditions if you fit is sufficient to outweigh the harm. And obviously there are significant benefits to it. The whole point of us being here is the planet balance. So your decision today is to make that decision whether or not the benefits associated with centralising the sustainable operation of the auction is balanced against the impact it has in terms of development in this location. So it is a planning balance for you to make today.
Yeah. You want to come back?
Yeah. In terms of employment, if it helps to maintain the existing jobs, I can imagine it being relevant. I cannot for the life of me see how it's going to significantly increase the number of jobs there, because it's going to be just an extended scrapyard. In terms of environmental issues, going by the existing site, I would seriously worry about the ground conditions that ended up, and it would take some serious environmental management to be able to get around that. Just going by the existing site and what's happening there, I would hate to see this extended further, regardless of its visual impact and everything else, just from an environmental point of view, across the rest of the site. So I would like to propose the object of the application.
Okay. Councillor Sorry, did you want, you wanted to second that?
No, I've got a statement to one of the questions that I wanted to ask.
Well, Councillor Trowbridge, and then I'll come to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to all the speakers. I'm sick of this site. I'm sick of going to site visits here. I've got a couple of things. I was disappointed that it hadn't really changed since our last site visit, which was some time ago, in my view, that is. I'm quite pleased, though, that the applicant has worked with the cottage that was directly opposite and has put in mitigation, because that was the where it seemed to cause the most issue. But when you look, Stone Lane View and that cottage is 260 metres is the closest. When planning states you can't be any closer than, I think it's 14 metres. 260, it is a long way away. So I know that it's a beautiful area and they're beautiful houses, but 260 to 14, I can't take that into consideration myself now. Is it a good place for commercial vehicles or a scrapyard, whichever way you look at it? Well, if they're going to go somewhere, it is a brownfield site, it already has hard standing, so I would say, personally, yes. But I don't live there. So I understand why people who live there are upset with it as well. But we can't take our personal feelings into it. So all the issues of the environment, as in leakage of petrol and everything else, that's an environmental agent's issue. That is a planning issue. So again, I thought, I can't take that interview. But the thing that I can is this was approved in, was it 2022? And nothing's changed since. And I'm really confused with why didn't they get on with it? Why hasn't it changed? Why wasn't the bund built higher and the trees planted on top? They would have grown, they would have made a difference by now. So that's the only thing stopping me at the moment is, it's easy to put beautiful pictures up there, and I love if you end up with that. That's brilliant. But will it happen? Will it happen? Have we got the enforcement to make it happen? Can we make it happen before they move the vehicles? At least the bund growing. That is, can we put a condition in that the bund goes ahead first before our vehicle is moved? That's my question. There we are.
In answer to your last question first, absolutely, that you can have a requirement sure that, prior to the first use of the site, the bund is completed. Obviously, we can't, you can put the planting on top, but the reason we've got a time span for visual appearance is the trees, and
absolutely,
it needs to grow, but it will be a 4 metres tall. I think there's a very, we need to be very clear here that actually what is being applied for isn't the scrapyard. The scrapyard is an entirely different use, and it's not what's being applied for. If the member considers that the adjacent land is being used for scrap purposes and not for the storage of motor vehicles for the sale, that's an enforcement issue. And if you are minded to speak to the enforcement officer, you can go out and make sure that in fact it's storage as opposed to scrap yard. That is, there are two different planning uses that require different permissions. This is not being applied for as a scrapyard, and it would be enforced against if it was being operated as a scrapyard. This is for vehicle storage.
And sale.
Well, no sales on this part of the site. This part of the site is solely for the storage of vehicles to be moved across. So if there are issues with the operation of the site, that's an enforcement issue. In terms of members' views as to whether or not we can enforce against the landscaping, absolutely, that we have enforcement officers who will go out if members are of the view that the landscaping that's been put up isn't sufficient and hasn't taken and needs to be replaced. Then we can go out and review that. Certainly we would go out with our enforcement officer would probably go out with our landscaping officer as well at the same time to provide the expertise in terms of what's their dying and disease. So we can control it. It's very usual that you control that. It is to do with monitoring. I would also say that we now have more enforcement officers. We've got two enforcement officers now. We are appointing a third one who will be coming in. So our resources will be significantly more. So yes, it is enforceable. Clarification, there isn't a private, and I think you can check the history on that.
Yeah, you mentioned about 2022, it's approved, nothing's been approved on this site, those bunds are not approved, they are only there as the applicant sort of mentioned, just to offer that screening temporarily now. So obviously if this was refused, they are fully within their right to remove that funding. That is not approved. It shouldn't have grown into a mass site visit. It's just something that is there as a temporary measure.
Can I just come back very, very quickly, please? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the temporary change of use has got another 1829781 COU, page 15. Temporary change of use for the former runway to develop a temporary compound to facilitate off-site ground investigation work to cease before August 2022. Yeah, May. Oh, not implemented. Oh, I see. Oh, that's me. Sorry, I got, yeah, I missed the end.
Thank you, Chairman. So I have a number of things that I feel that I need to raise. Also some clarification on a couple of points as well. So the scrapyard, as is, originally when the application was put in for that, it was a similar application to the one that we're looking at today.
Yeah, I don't introduce the word scrapyard, but it isn't a scrapyard.
Well, forgive me, Chairman, but we did do a site visit when we were looking at this application, or the previous application. We actually went down there, and from what I could see, the vehicles that were there, that have been there a number of years, are still there and they still haven't moved, which to me is not storage. That's a vehicle cemetery.
Would you clarify exactly what?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it was quite eye-opening for me. I was to get into my client's business. A lot of these vehicles are damaged by fire, accidents, written off by insurers in this country. They're often brought back into life elsewhere where they're purchased, sometimes taken abroad and repaired and used, but they wouldn't be here because insurers wouldn't fund it, because of the way our insurance system works. Sometimes there's a fleet of Tesco delivery vehicles, 10 or 15 of them might be bought in bulk and sold by the auctions, and they're perfectly roadworthy, there's a variety, but some of the vehicles by their nature are damaged. If any of the vehicles are there long term, you know, more than a few months between auctions, or they don't sell after two auctions, they'll find another way to get rid of them, because they don't want to scrap yard, they don't want to keep vehicles that long. Their business and the way they make money is the trading of these vehicles, which are often, as they say, written off and damaged by their nature. Not all of them, but if they don't move for a long time, that's the last thing the client wants. Yes.
So through you, Chairman, so I appreciate what the gentleman has just said. However, that doesn't take away from the fact that that is exactly what's happened and has been the case for some time. So my fear is that because there's nothing here that says these will be temporarily stored on this piece of land whilst going through auction, there is absolutely nothing to prevent that piece of land ending up looking like the other piece of land. And when you talk about vehicles that are non-moving, that are right at the very back of that runway, close to the current plot, it's going to be a blot on the landscape for miles around. And if I'm quite honest, is that really what we want to be looking at? Another blot on the landscape, not dissimilar to the blot on the landscape in stone by the cemetery? Because that's what we're going to be looking at if this is approved, without conditions, without that really understanding what the motive is for this piece of land. We will be leaving that for generations to come to have to sit and look at, because there is nothing about the other site that gives me any confidence that it's not going to end up looking the same. Even the planting out on the other side wasn't maintained. We shouldn't be able to see it. We shouldn't be able, it should be completely masked. And it isn't. It's horrific.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, I've got one question on the conditions with the about conditions. On the conditions on the recommendation, number four, it says designed to provide adequate water quality treatment. Now, does that mean that there will be a check on any fuel spillages, oil spillages, and the water running off this hard standing? And if it does, does that have to be put in place before it's used for commercial use?
What page are you on?
It's page 28, the second point down.
It'll be page 16, it's page 28 is the previous report, so on page 16, you mentioned
it. Yes, it reads SUDS designed to provide adequate water quality treatment in accordance with
various. What page are you on?
This is page 28 of our
report. No,
it's page 16.
28 is the previous report.
Yes, page 16.
Yes, the recommendations for subject to conditions.
Yeah, 16.
So go to page 16, and the old report's on the back of this report.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well,
so if you go to page 16.
Will that be put in place before this is brought into use?
The condition is, the drainage condition is on, starts from the bottom of page 15. And it says no development should begin until details of surface water drainage design has been submitted to an approved in writing by the planning authority in consultation with the lead local flood authority.
So that will be done before it's brought into use, but that it is adequate.
And then it goes back, if you go on to page 16, just above condition 4, it says thereafter you shall not commence unless and until the approved service water drainage scheme has been constructed and completed. In other words, what it's saying is the use can't take, nothing can take place on site until the drainage scheme has been submitted to us, and we've and the local flood authority has approved the details of that and the how the surface water is treated, and then it needs to be fully completed prior to the first use of that
Thank you. And the second point I'd like to make is a new condition, and the new condition being exactly what the applicant proposed on this document from Knights, 4.4, that as Councillor McEwen explained, that the be surveyed on its first anniversary and every year thereafter. That section he mentioned, which is down here. And secondly, more importantly, the removal of the concrete surface beneath the bunds. Now, the applicant said he's prepared to do this, but the recommendation doesn't include it. I would like to see that included in the recommendation if this is approved.
Okay. We certainly can include them. It was considered that it wouldn't necessarily meet the tests of all planning conditions to put them on, which is why we're not including them in the report. But as the applicant has agreed to them, we can certainly put them on. They are enforceable. So that's absolutely fine.
Just in line with what Councillor Hickson's just said, absolutely, as I said on site, there is no way that any tree is going to thrive.
No, we're talking about making conditions where they do thrive.
That's right, and I'm just supporting that. I'm just saying that.
That's an important change to what's in front of us.
So, what I would do, I'd like to ask a question, please. On page 27, where it's talking about the change of use of a former airfield runway for storage of commercial vehicles, etc., that was approved in 2017, that's on the other piece of land. Is that correct? That's not for this.
Well, that's not in this report.
It's on page 27.
Yeah,
that's not part of that's not the condition we're considering. This is
okay. So that is the other.
That's
the other
one. Yeah.
Okay. So, on this particular site, we did give planning permission for the storage of aggregates associated with roadworks incorporating fencing. Is that correct on page 5? Context 3.
Yeah.
So, was the fencing ever put up? Because I'm assuming that what we saw there today was the remainders of that.
I don't know, it was the intended permission. I don't know the details of that.
It expired in 2020.
Yeah, it was a temporary concern.
I think my concern is that I don't remember there being any fencing up there. But my concern with this whole application is that I fear for the residents and the legacy that they will have to live with. Bearing in mind the other site, which I understand we're not supposed to take into consideration, but you kind of can't help by doing that, as they've not adhered to some of the conditions that were put in place. So how can we then expect conditions to be upheld in this site if they haven't done it on the other site? I don't believe that the bunding is going to have the effect that I think, even at 4 metres high, people would like it to have, because those vehicles are going to be reaching right to the back far end of that runway, and that is going to be visible, and it's going to be very visible from numerous points in the village. It will completely change the outlook and feel of that area without a shadow of a doubt, and I have absolutely no confidence that it's going to not end up looking any different from the site that is already not maintained, in my personal opinion. And I would oppose this this application based on those grounds. So I would second my fellow councillor's proposal to oppose it.
Councillor Cooper, you indicated before.
Yeah. Has there been an environmental comment assessment in detail on the water runoff from the site?
Yeah.
Or is that the same that is to be done as a condition?
Yes, that is a condition to be required.
Okay. Well, bear in mind, as I say, I've walked through the existing site, and what I was treading in, I'm not sure. It's a flat site, the runoff of the drainage is going goodness knows where. In the corner, I estimate approximately between the old road and the railway line, there's a spring there. So there's clearly some water systems going on. It's bubbling up in that corner where there's a spring indicated on the house plans. That then runs down close to the pasture fields site of special scientific interest, known as the salt marshes, which had huge weight during the HS2 development. And in fact, I think it resulted in the HS2 being rerouted. So the fact that something as big as HS2 gets rerouted because of it, and we're allowing Georgia chemicals to seep into the ground 400 metres away from the spring, which feeds into the salt marshes, surprises me.
I think the point about it is that this application has been looked at by the Legal and Flood Authority, who have imposed a specific addition to actually make sure that the runoff from the site is effectively controlled. So, in terms of there is a conditional control which will address that issue and actually preclude any contaminants going or they won't allow contaminants through the drainage system to go if there are fears and concerns, because that's their reason, that's why they're there.
Councillor Trowbridge, did you want to ask to speak again?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Mr Chairman, I'd like to ask a question of Mr McEwen, Councillor McEwen, if that's all right.
Yes.
He's ran with this for some time. The new bund that we spoke about just before getting on the bus, not the bund, I'm quite happy with that big bund that's blocking out the houses, but again I say I don't live there, so apologies. But the bund that's going across the site, would that stop you, as you said at the beginning, you were driving past with your son and he thought, what a nice old, would that stop that? Because the vehicles will be the other side of there.
Is that not view from Stowe Lane?
If that's the lane.
Well, that's why I did ask that we went to Royal Cottage and got off the coach and stood on the ground to exactly see what you might see.
But we wouldn't, because that's a lot higher than what's there.
You might have some estimation of how it would look.
And in your opinion, will it make a difference?
If it looks like that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
But what our experience so far has been different.
Then I will let this go first, because I have a suggestion afterwards, but obviously there's some on the table.
Councillor
Finch? Can I also just ask for some clarification from the councillor, if that's okay? The lane that we were going to stand on is at a higher point than the ground that the bund is on, correct?
Correct.
So if you were standing on that lane, you would can you see the other side?
I haven't stood there and had a look in recent times, so I couldn't say.
But then historically, would you?
Historically, you could.
Okay.
Yes,
so any vehicles that are on that side, at the back there, next to the other side, will be visible.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have you made a proposal in broad, and Councillor Phillips has seconded it. Can you set out what your proposal is, Councillor?
Trying to recall exactly how I put it. It's that to me, it's going by the existing site. The environmental state of the existing site and the way it's been described as storage at Yuma just doesn't match up. If it's an extension to that existing site, try walking through it and tell me what you think about it. It isn't a simple storage, no way. It's rotting vehicles and to, as a footpath, and just try through it, it's just impossible.
I think the issue you've got there is that the actual application sites and the ones that we've determined in front of it, and you're saying that you don't like the scheme because of the scheme next door. If you are saying that you are concerned that this site will look like the one next door, and you adversely, and you think that that is going to be visually intrusive and unacceptable, then that will be what we would say. But for clarification, you can't, you wouldn't be able to formulate a reason for refusal on the basis of what looks like next door. What we have to say is this is the site subject to the application, and the introduction of this use onto that area would have, and I can't put words in, it would be what impact you think that storage would have, and whether or not you think that's, if you think it's unacceptable, frame it in that way.
Yeah, I'm just check through you, and I'm also thinking the other thing that I suggested that I find unpalatable is that for whatever reasons it's beyond the neighbourhood plan boundary. And it makes, to me, what's the point of neighbourhood plan boundaries if you can find any reason, economic or otherwise, to go beyond?
Do you want to add anything to what you've
said? Chapter, I think this has already been addressed by Sim, but the point is that planning can take place outside of the boundaries. It then becomes a matter of plan balance and the development plan as a whole, and whether there are benefits that outweigh. I think you've already been that's been addressed.
Yeah.
I'll
go to Councillor Phillips as a hand bring up.
Thank you, Chairman.
I think we do need to recognise here that we are talking about balance. And the recommendation is that this application should be allowed because of the fact of taking those issues into consideration. There are other issues, no reason. Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. And I appreciate your comments. In December 2019, the Parish Council put forward objections, it's on page 26. Which some of those I believe are applicable. Excessive prominent and slightly incongruous and intrusive, part of the visual unity, wasn't going to assess the rural sustainability, wasn't going to protect the environmental character, not in accordance with environmental protection policies, not a sustainable development, and would conflict with various policies that we have in place. I'm sure that there are at least some of those reasons, surely, that we can use currently with this application.
There are, but that is for you to make that decision. I would be very cautious. There have been made reference to legislation, environmental protection. We have got specialist consultants who have not raised any objections to the scheme. If you try to formulate a reason for refusal based upon evidential base, which we wouldn't then subsequently be able to support for approval because we've not had any objections on our own internal consultancies, a good example would be the contamination of the water course, because it can be covered by a condition. You struggle to sustain that one on appeal. What you're talking about here, and maybe I can assist in moving this forward for you, is that you are concerned about the visual impact of this and the fact that we don't think that the proposed mitigation will outweigh the harm that it has. And as a planning balance, that the harm associated with the development doesn't outweigh the harm. Isn't outweighed by the benefits associated with the development. So it would be, from a planning perspective, a subjective argument or subjective reason for refusal, which is based upon visual impact, would be what you're talking about in terms of the visual impact. What you're talking about is your concern about the introduction of this use and visually intrusive. That's not saying that my office of recommendation is that it's okay. and it can be mitigated, but if I'm trying to help the council in terms of planning it.
Just to come back on that, Chairman, and also obviously the fact that with this site is not going to employ a number of people. In fact, it doesn't even tell us how many people would be employed as a result.
Ten.
Sorry, I'm not sure where I've missed that off here. And is, but was that 10 additional?
Yeah, but that's what the report says.
Absolutely. Is that sustainable?
In terms of the number of people that are being proposed to be employed, that's what has been submitted in support of the application. It sits outside the authority's control in terms of planning perspective as to whether or not they are going to maintain that, because that we have to take it on the basis of their saying it will employ 10 people, and that's supporting the application, and we've got no grounds to think that wouldn't be otherwise the case.
I just want to come back on that, if I may. And I appreciate what you're saying, but what we're probably going to be looking at is that this employment is going to be taking place all over the place and not necessarily on this site. Historically, when we've got planning applications where there's been vehicles coming and going, they've not necessarily been local employment.
As far as this particular report is concerned, I think we're right to infer that 10 people will be additionally employed on this site.
I don't think it's the case where you're going to have 10 people sat working on that site 24/7 or where they're
like. No,
but there are only 10 additional jobs generated by this, by the on site management and it's linked to the applicant's offices within the industrial estate.
Yeah.
And then the base there, they're to and from the site throughout the day on probably 20, 30 occasions as when deliveries happen. You know, new vehicles comes in, someone collects a vehicle they collect, they bought them or online auction. So it's all the wider business activity.
Yeah.
But there would be local jobs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Councillor Newton?
Thank you, Chair. I've got a concern here because we've got an agreement, I think, on these new conditions about the removal of the concrete and the maintenance of the screening. If this application is refused against the recommendation of the officers and it's appealed on and they win, that's what we'll get. We won't get this. So that's the problem I've got. We could easily refuse it, but I could see it being won on appeal. And regardless of the cost to the council, if it's won on appeal, you'll get what's in this document here. We won't get any additional conditions. So I'm afraid in this instance I'd be inclined to approve it with these conditions that the applicant has agreed to.
Yeah, we have. I think we all recognise that there have been significant concessions made in relation to the bond and other factors that have been said at this meeting. Are you still in a position of recommending a refusal, or do you want to? Have you thought more about what your proposal would be?
Yeah, I think based on what the officer said, my original proposal for refusal isn't low.
I think it was that you were you just need to seek clarification of what the point was, which is you were concerned about the visual impact of storage in this location. But that's from what you were saying, that's what I understood you meant. But obviously you have to put that forward as your reason for refusal, because I can't tell you what to refuse on if that's what we wanted to do.
In that case, I shall have to withdraw that.
Councillor Gambridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In that case, may I put this through for approval, but not as officer's recommendation, with the extra with the extra bits that were put in. But I also want that this 4-metre bund is in place prior to movement of vehicles onto the strip.
I'll second that.
I think that would do more good to the neighbouring properties because that will be in place, blocking out the original development as well as the new development.
You're seeking there to be a proper sustainable high barn.
Absolutely. The 4 metres as stated.
I'll second that, Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay. Have we got a, oh, you're seconding?
Yeah. No, I'm seconding, yes. Can we also include then, if this is evidently the way that people are going to be moving forward, I feel that we need to ensure that the quality of soil used in the bund.
No, that's what I was meaning when I said what I said.
The reason why I say that is obviously there is a lot of road surface.
Yeah, I know. I'm with what you said, absolutely, that it needs to be good quality, sustainable, growable medium.
And I also want to ensure that the vehicles that are on that piece of land are only on there for a set period of time.
I don't think we can enforce that.
So we can't do that.
No.
So how can we ensure that this is not going to become a cemetery for cars or vehicles?
I think the point about it is that what's being applied for is the storage of motor vehicles, which are then moved on commercially. The fact is that they have a value and they will move them on eventually, but we couldn't impose the conditions to control that. The difference between the scrapyard and this storage facility is a scrapyard where actually there's a process involved in breaking the vehicles down into the component parts and selling them on and moving on. That's not what's being proposed. These are vehicles which are brought on and they're stored as long as they need to be stored until they can be moved on. It is the business of the applicant to sell commercial vehicles. Obviously, they don't want to store vehicles on the site that aren't being sold because it will take places up. So, in terms of the condition, I don't think we could, in the chair is entirely correct, we wouldn't be able to impose a condition because we wouldn't be able to effectively enforce because we wouldn't then keep track of those vehicles. And there wouldn't be, it would be unreasonable to do so. We felt the test certainly within the guidance in relation to conditions.
Through you, Jenna, I understand what you're saying. On the other side, there is a tree growing through a vehicle that has obviously been there a substantially and a long time for there to be a tree growing through it. How can we prevent what the residents can now see from happening again? Because surely there is something that we can do to put into place to prevent that from being, you know, a rotten bus that's there 15 years on. You know, there's obviously not much movement that's gone on in some areas of the other side. How can we stop that from happening on this one? Because it's going to be an eyesore.
There are provisions under the enforcement legislation, a thing called a Section 215 notice, and obviously we would go out there and look at it if it is clear that there's just vehicles which are dilapidated and not being moved, then obviously they would have to make an assessment there. But it would be a very difficult test to apply for that. But ultimately, as I say, they are storing vehicles there to sell them. So it's not commercially, I would assume, not commercially in their interest to store vehicles on there and leave them on there because it would take space for other vehicles. I think the issue here is that we don't have within our control the ability to impose conditions for what you seek. We do have controls within enforcement to actually, if it becomes very untidy for us, for instance, trees growing through commercial vehicles, for us to then review that and say, well, whether or not that has actually been used, whether or not that's causing an eyesore, we can enforce against that. But I don't think we can impose the level of control that you're looking for in terms of making sure we rotate vehicles.
Then I would suggest that enforcement go out and look at the other piece of land because I have a grave concern over this happening again. And if we can't legislate how long those vehicles can be on that piece of land before they're classed as being dumped, then then I think we've got another potential issue on our hands.
We know what you're saying.
Just a clarification, Mr. Chairman. We've had a proposal and we've had a second.
Yes.
Before we take a vote, could I just ask Councillor McEwen to read out that alternative condition that we added on so that we're clear about what we're saying? Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, we could get delegated authority.
I'm just saying, so Councillor McEwen can read out what the applicant said he was prepared to do and put that in as the condition.
Introducing the quality, this aspect of the quality of the bun, I'm not sure what Councillor McEwen would read out adequately.
It is exactly what the applicant was prepared to do, instead of what's in the
document. Yeah, I thought it would come further than that.
Can you
read that out?
Yeah, just to read what Ben Weatherby wrote in October last year. And this is the condition that I would like to have included, if you're minded, to approve. And there are essentially three parts to it, and they are on pages 8 and 9 of the letter that Knight sent in last October. 4.4, this is about the landscaping and the annual survey, and the documentary evidence that would be provided by the applicant on the anniversary of the planting. The second condition relates to the bund and the removal of the concrete underneath the bund right now. And then the last one is about the wording. Now, I think it says it is considered that suitable worded planning conditions covering the requirements above would ensure the applicant is obliged to fully implement the proposed landscaping swiftly and in its entirety to ensure it effectively mitigates the visual impact on the proposed vehicle storage area contained within the proposed landscaping treatment. They would also provide to the LPA with the opportunity to enforce the measures necessary to satisfy their requirements to address the concerns of members. And there is another point, I think, where it says the landscaping and bunds shall be in position prior to the site being brought into use.
Yeah,
that's the one I wanted to add. Yeah.
I'm going to bring Mr. Clark.
Oh, no, you haven't. Sorry, Chair.
Sorry.
That's okay. Just very quickly, can I ask the applicant, please, the suggestion that the bunding should be in place before further vehicles are added or whatever. Could I ask the applicant how feasible that is and what sort of time scale we're talking about?
In light of other conditions that need to be discharged before the use can take place, that's certainly not feasible, not least the drainage condition that was talked about earlier, which requires submission of detailed drainage design and the local flood authority to review and approve that can take some time. I mean, I've not been given a time scale to complete that now, but I would certainly think that's more than feasible than the time that we take to discharge out of pre-first use conditions. So yes, it is.
Any further comments?
Yes. Sorry, Chairman. I know everybody wants to wind this up, but the lighting, is there any lighting scheme that's been put forward for this?
Lighting?
Is there going to be any lighting on the sides? Any lighting scheme that we've got that's been put forward? So there will be no lighting?
Correct. If you want lighting, it will be a new set application.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So we have...
We have a proposal which has been seconded from Councillor Trowbridge that the recommendation from officers, given the new conditions that have been recommended, is that rather than to approve so that we can ensure that the work within those conditions is correct. So I don't know, Councillor Trowbridge, if you want to put that forward as an amendment to your proposal.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't want to delay any longer, but as officers, we're reluctant to put those conditions in suggested by Mr. Weatherby last October. I really do think we need to have it nailed down that those conditions will be part of any approval.
Every word. But they're going to wording in the way that makes sense.
That's what we will be voting to achieve.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Those in favour of the proposal?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those against?
1.
Those abstaining?
In the orange.
I know that.
Thank you very much
for your attendance.